1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 18, and I want to just review real quickly where we left off last week, because I think it's important, and there's two things I want to talk about tonight. You know, sometimes when we think about Peter, we think about a rough and tumble fisherman. We don't think of him as a scholar like we think of Paul. And yet, if you really read this book, you'll find a lot of things that Peter talked about, and the fact that he referred back to books of prophecy, where you almost have to say he was a scholar. And I know it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but God used him to really deal with some truths. And I mentioned that last week in verses 19 and 20, and we talked about it, I think, the week before, you know, about where we should always be ready and able to give an answer or a reason or support for why we believe what we believe. I think it's also important to be able to understand what some other people believe and be able to give an answer, a Bible answer, as to why maybe they shouldn't believe that. And last week we talked a little bit about purgatory that our Catholic friends believe in. And the verses 19 and 20 there are the major reasons that the Catholics believe in purgatory. And we're going to look at those verses again. and then in verse 21 is a lot of people use to support that you can't be saved unless you're baptized. And again, we're going to look at that tonight and talk about what this verse means. The only thing I would remind you before I start, because it's important, is that Peter was writing to encourage Christians that were being persecuted. They were suffering for the cause of Christ, and one of the major purposes of this letter is to encourage them to keep on, to continue to be faithful. And tonight we're going to talk about how he uses Noah and Christ as examples of folks that suffered and were faithful, and in the end won. And we can follow their example. So again, let's just briefly talk about verse 18, and then we'll get into the rest of this chapter. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. And I mentioned last week, everything that Christ suffered while here on earth was the result of sin. Not his sin, our sin. Every bit of suffering he did was because of our sin. And so he hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Again, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, that he might bring us to God. And we come to God only through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Being put to death in the flesh. He was a human being. He was put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, made alive, not kept alive, but brought back to life, made alive by the Spirit. And again, we talked about last week, that wasn't the Holy Spirit, because nowhere else in the Scripture, when somebody is brought back to life, is the Holy Spirit involved. But by the Spirit that was his as God. He said, and I read this last week, but I'll read it again, in John chapter 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And so he lay it down and died in the flesh, but was made alive by the Spirit, his Spirit, that divine Spirit that he had. He was made alive by that. Now, look at verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And again, there's some people that read that verse and they come up with this place called purgatory, this place that people go after they die, that they can be redeemed from because of the suffering they undergo there, because people pray them out of there. And again, verse 19 is one of the main verses that they look at and say, this is our support. This is why we believe that. But again, let's look at what the verse said. Let me just go ahead and read verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And so, by which he went also, that spirit, that divine spirit of Christ, went and preached. Okay, it doesn't say what he preached, but he made a proclamation, he delivered a message unto the spirits in prison. And again, they'll look at and we'll talk about what it means by prison in a minute, but they'll look at that word prison and say, well, that's hell. And after Christ was crucified, before he came back to and made his appearance on earth, he spent some of that 3 days in hell preaching to those in hell. And again, using that verse to give the impression that there's a second chance. There's a way to get people from that prison. After they die, there's a way to get them into heaven. And so I think to understand these two verses, you got to look at three things. Who are the spirits that were preached to? What's meant by the word prison? And what was the message that was delivered to them? Okay? So who are the spirits? Again, it tells us in verse 20. It was those people who were disobedient when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah. Now, and again, I mentioned this last week as I was finishing up. If Jesus was going to go to hell and he was going to give people a second chance, why would he only give those folks that lived in the days of Noah a second chance? Why only that generation? Why not the generation that lived in the days of Enoch? Why not the generation that lived in the days of Isaiah? Okay? I don't believe that verse means what some people say that it means. I don't believe he went to hell and preached. I think what that verse means is that his spirit, Christ's spirit, was with Noah when Noah was preaching to the people in his day. Now, they weren't spirits. The people that Noah was preaching to were not spirits in his day, but when Peter was writing about them, they were spirits at that point. Okay? And so the Spirit of Christ that raised him from the dead was with Noah when he was preaching to those that were disobedient to him. What was the prison? Well, the word prison, it means, a place where people are kept under guard, a place where anyone is in confinement or in imprisonment. But this verse does not specify a place. If it was hell, why wouldn't God just call it hell? Why wouldn't God just make it very, very plain? Okay? I believe the prison they were in were the prison of the world in the times of Noah. A time, as you remember, as the book of Genesis tells us, that every thought of the imagination was done. I mean, people thought about it. They didn't have any restraint. They did it. And Noah came and preached to those people a message. And what was the message? It was a message of salvation. His message was a flood is coming. It's going to cover the earth. Everybody and everything that breathes is going to die. And the only way that you can be saved is to get on the ark that I'm building. That was the message that Noah, through the Spirit of Christ, preached to the people in his day. And again, when Peter was writing this letter, he referred to them as spirits because in Peter's day, they were spirits. Okay, then we go on to verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient. When the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God was long-suffering. Noah was building the ark for 120 years, a whole generation. And during that time, and again, you say, well, why did it take him so long? Well, it was a big boat, and they didn't have the modern tools that we have today. I mean, he didn't have chainsaws, and he didn't have planers, and he didn't have table saws, like some of you did. He did with an axe and tools. And this boat was going to float for over a year. And it was going to have two of every kind of animal in it, so it wasn't a small task. And so for 120 years, Noah preached. Now, and I was thinking about this yesterday. Don't you think that when Noah was preaching and he was building this ark, that he was ridiculed? Have you ever just thought about what it must have been like to have been Noah or a member of his family during the time that he was building the ark? It hadn't rained on the earth yet. I mean, God had watered the earth from the mist. And yet Noah said, hey, there's going to be a flood. And the mountaintops are going to be covered. And everybody that breathes is going to die. And here he was, you know, building this giant boat and preaching that the judgment of God was coming. I think he suffered for what he did. I think he was persecuted for what he did. I think he was ridiculed for what he did. But I don't think it stopped him. That's why Peter's using him as an example. He's saying, you're suffering now for the cause of Christ? Think about Noah. 120 years, he preached, he delivered the message of God. The only people that believed him were his family. I mean, that verse says there were only a few saved, only eight souls, his wife, his three sons, his three daughter-in-laws, and himself. Everybody else drowned. Everybody else died. And yet Noah survived. And again, what a message of hope to those Christians in Peter's day that were suffering for the cause of Christ. He was saying, hang in there. If you're faithful, it's going to turn out good. There may be a lot of hardship between now and when it ends, but when it ends, you're going to be on the winning side. You're going to be on the right side. And so he said, just think about Noah and think about what he went through. And then in verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And again, some people read that verse and say, well, there it is. It's in black and white. Baptism does save us. You have to be baptized in order to be saved. But look at the verse closely. That's not what Peter is saying. He says, in the like figure. In other words, what happened in Noah's day resembles or corresponds to what happens when we are baptized in Christ. He says... let me read the whole verse. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter says, it's just not the water washing away the filth of the world that saves us. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. It's a picture. What happened in Noah? You see, Noah's family was saved by the water. How were they saved by the water? It was the water that held up the ark. The water killed everybody else. But the water saved Noah's family because it was the water that the ark floated on. And he says, that pictures what happens when we get baptized. Because it's not the water that saves us. I mean, yeah, the water saved Noah's family only because they were in the ark. The water in baptism saves us because we don't get baptized until we're in Christ. And that's why he ends that verse, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We get baptized after we get saved. And you remember the question that I always ask people before I baptize them. Have you asked Jesus to save you? They say yes. And I remember, you remember Reg's testimony. By the way, Reg turned 94 on Monday. He had a birthday on Monday. But his testimony was nobody had ever asked him if he got saved until he got into the baptistry. And he said, when they asked me, before they baptized me, he said, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? He said, I did it right then. and got saved and baptized within seconds. But we get, and so I ask the question, have you asked Jesus to save you? Yes, I have. And then I always say, upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you. We only baptize people that are already in Jesus. And so we get baptized as a symbol, as a picture of what has happened in our life. And Peter's saying, that's the picture of what happened. And Noah's day is a picture of what happened to us when we get baptized. Noah and his family were saved by the water because they were in the ark. We are saved by the baptism, by the water of baptism, because we're already in Christ Jesus. And Paul wrote, if it wasn't for the resurrection, our faith is in vain. If Christ was not resurrected, if what we just celebrated didn't happen, we might as well go home, shut the doors, because there's no use for us meeting. But Jesus did rise from the dead. He was quickened again, and that is the basis for our hope. And it's just him. Now, I think you ought to get baptized after you get saved. I do. But you're just as saved before you go into the water as you are afterwards. And where would the thief on the cross be if he had to get baptized? So, don't let anybody tell you that you have to be baptized. Don't let anybody tell you that there's a place called purgatory. You don't get a second chance after you die. And then look at verse 22, talking about Jesus, who's gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And again, Peter was writing to people that were being persecuted, that suffered for Christ's sake. And again, he used Jesus as an example. He suffered, not for his sake, but for our sake. He suffered to pay for our sins. But now he's in heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, that place of power. Some people read in the book of Acts and say, well, he's standing at the right hand of God because when Stephen looked into heaven, he saw Jesus standing there. And I always tell him, no, he stood up because Stephen was getting ready to come home. Most of the time he's sitting at the right hand of God. And all these things, angels and authorities and powers, being made subject unto him. And again, this was a form of encouragement to the folks Peter was writing. Look, Jesus suffered. He suffered a lot, not for us. But he's in heaven now at the right hand of God. The angels and the authorities and the powers are all subject unto him. The suffering was worth it. And what Peter was saying, it will be worth it for us. And so what he said, don't give up. Don't quit. When it gets hard and you want to throw in the towel and you want to just quit, remember, it will be over soon. And when it is over, you're going to be on the winning side. You're going to get to go to heaven. You're going to get to walk on that street of gold. You're going to get to be with Christ. And it will be worth it all. We sang a song tonight. I've noticed in one of the words that about the trials that we have down here, up there, when we think about them, just be a smile. Because we'll realize more than we do now, I hope we realize it now, that every trial that God sends into our life is a stepping stone. He's using it to get us where he wants us to be, to make us more what he wants us to be. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. God, it's all part of God's plan. And look at where you're going. My brother and sister-in-law had this week off, and so they decided to go on a little trip. And when I talked to him on Monday, he said, yeah, we're going to go down to Nashville. So I talked to my parents today, and I said, well, did Tim make it to Nashville? My mom said, no, he called home. He said he was glad his wife wasn't on the boat with Columbus, or else they never would have made it to America, because they headed to Nashville and ended up in West Virginia. And I said, how did that happen? She said, well, your sister-in-law had her weather deal out, and she saw all the tornadoes, so she said, don't go south, go east, go east, go east. And so they ended up in West Virginia. Now, I tell you that little story, keep your eye on where you're headed. Keep your eye on where you're headed. You are headed toward an eternal home with Jesus Christ in heaven. And whatever God allows us to go through down here, whatever it is, and I know sometimes, you know, I always tell people, God never puts more on us than we can handle. And sometimes they say to me, man, he's coming pretty close, coming real close. I said, I know. But regardless of what he lets come into our life, he knows what he's doing. And if we could just get a hold of that one truth, God knows what he is doing. He knows where he wants us to get. He knows what it's going to take to get us there. Let's just trust him and not get discouraged, not quit. Just keep on keeping on, and one day it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Glad you're here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.